Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports in Depth, is your show, and it's Sunday. And dear Lord, opens all our shows, because John Coltrane's rendition is our introduction to prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. Have your will and have your way. Goodness and mercy from our voice, and gratitude to you, we pray. Dear Lord, we simply say, thank you. Another day. Thank you for help. Thank you for little things we so largely take for granted. And as a man once said, we may not live on Park Avenue, but by the grace of God, we don't live on a park bed. Lady once said, you're God all by yourself, the Lord. And you may not be everybody's God, but you are the one and only true God. Bless the panel. Bless our family and our friends. Bless our president, the Lord. Bless my family here. Virginia and Brazil. And more importantly, let your way be our way. And we ask these blessings in the name of your darling son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow, so the channel Sports and Depth show. John Coltrane is our opening theme. As you know, Coltrane was discovered by none other than Miles Dewey Davis. His greatest album is a dedication to God of love supreme. You can't kind of comprehend God's love for us, but sacrifices were made for the Son of Man and for mankind. It's a Sunday. Some fights last night. We have some fights forthcoming. You know, Lady A called me and said, Doc, I saw that Tommy Hearns Hagler fight, Doc. You're not giving Hagler his props. And we battled for a while with that, you know what I mean? You know, you're not giving Hagler his props. And I said, Lady A, and I said, you know, you got to understand. I said, I'm not taking anything away from Marvin. And she is. We also want to also salute the First Lady of Radio, Gypsy Shula, and also our CEO, Neil Blake. At this time, too, you want to make donations, www.blakeradio.com. You hit that, the first box you see above Rainbow Soul, and make a little donation. DocStanleySports.com, the Doc Stanley Trust in God Sports and Deaf Hall of Fame. Hit that site, take a look. As you know, I'm on the way to Fortaleza, Brazil, and I keep discussing. You know, Lady A, I was thinking about you. Cause anytime I think about, well, we always think about you. But I'm looking at the glove here the other day.
First of all, before you get started, I just want to let one. Are you still trying to porn off that cheesy picture of Harold? Are you still trying to sell that with the black and white?
You know, Rooney, she always finds a way to get Harold into the conversation. You know what I mean?
Black and white. I keep telling you, people want color photos of Harold. Stop.
Back in the day, that's all they had of Harold.
Man. Nobody wants that nowadays.
Harold, you see Harold had his part, too. He had his part in his hair.
He had his part.
As a point in Harold Weston Jr., but I mean, that's all they had back in the day was black and white. Black and white.
You had a butterfly collar and the platform shoes,
Doc.
Right, Doc?
Huh? Mm-hmm.
You had the butterfly collar and the platform shoes. I saw you in those pictures with the fedora.
Hey, you know what's funny?
Why are you trying to lie to the audience? You know, you
listen
were looking
me,
all dapper with your fly.
You know what's funny? Sid Gatlin Jr., who came, we graduated from broadcast school together, NYSES.
Mm-hmm.
And Sid was funny. You know, he said, there was a press conference. He said, and in came Jabbar.
with platform shoes.
Oh no!
Well, yeah, really, Rocky needed them, huh, Doc? Rocky needed them.
Yeah, they said, and, you know, he said, Doc, I couldn't believe. In came Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with platform shoes on.
Oh,
that's
my
really
goodness! What would that have made him, Doc? Like 7'6"?
Oh, easily. You know,
that's,
I mean,
hilarious.
Yeah, because, you know, he was a legit Doc, like 7'2" or so. Maybe
happens
taller.
I know. I mean, probably, you know, they probably had to make special shoes, so it probably had to be like a 3 or 4 inches anyway. You know what I mean? To be made taller. Okay, the crew is coming in. I've got Lady A. You heard Mel Cosell. Destino Baby Lewis. We're trying to get a hold of Crystal Hart. If she can join us, we just want to salute her.
I just emailed her a letter, so that hopefully she could come in
she
and give
us
a phone.
All right,
it's Dusty. You're not exempt from this either, Papa. What was up with you on the Crystal Hart show with the taxi driver cab hat?
Oh, my
goodness. You look like the homeboys hanging out in the bodega reading the vocero, bro.
This girl leaves no stone. Hey, Lady A, he was hanging out in the bodega. He just come from with Consuelo and Enrico.
That's right.
He keeps talking. I read El Diado. Cut it out. He's with Consuelo, Enrico. You know what I mean? They give him the 411.
No,
he was sounding all distinguished with his distinguished voice.
I parked my cab in front of the Trinity Gym. That's what it was, man.
Oh, my goodness,
I tell you something, too, that got my man Nat from, you know, I tell you something, too, that this great interview, she I called her the first lady, cable television's loveliest and number one female sportscaster, and it was a tremendous interview, Dusty, because, you know, you talked about a couple of things there. And you know, we know what happened. I mean, they had this fight last week at BB King's. All of a sudden, I've never heard this stuff until this era of asinine, backwards, incompetent A, B, C, and D media people. Where there's no more room in the press row. How did you ever run out of room in the press row? I mean, but anyhow.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Dusty.
Yeah. No, but basically, like I told you, you got a probie, a rookie, who's been giving too many liberties to run the show and doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, Dusty,
Dusty,
I've heard that before. I remember back, it's a decade ago, and I called these people for a credential, and they said, well, look, Doc, we can take care of you, but, you know, could you do me a favor? We won't be able to get a photo pass, you know what I mean? Can you take one off the wire? So okay, you know what, last minute. So when I call back the next time for the next fight, they're telling me that they had a little problem. I said, whoa. First of all, you know, they said they were talking about, you know, what they need for the magazine photographer. I said, well, first of all,
Doc, you got feedback, Doc. You got feedback.
You got feedback. Yeah.
Okay, let's go on now. When does a magazine take precedent over the newspaper? I said, and then the second thing, you know, when does it take precedent over daily paper?
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, some things came up, and so she said, well, I said, no. I said, you know, I did you a favor the last time, but a newspaper always takes precedent over a magazine, and a daily newspaper takes precedent over a weekly newspaper. And John Condon, the late, great John Francis Xavier Condon, I think I told this story 217 times. But, you know, Time Magazine put in a credential, Dusty, for Ali Frazier 1.
Right.
John Condon told him no.
Okay,
but
that's what I'm trying to make you understand, that it's the person who's been given the irons.
No, I understand what you're saying. I'm just trying to say is that he is part of a generation, Dusty, of incompetent PR people.
Yeah.
I mean,
any
time a lady tells you or a media person tells you that a magazine takes precedent over a daily newspaper. I mean, even if you had a shot between Sports Illustrated and a daily newspaper, the daily newspaper always gets the precedent. Hold on just a second. I got to check. Dr. Ira, did you join us?
Huh?
Is Dr.
Harold!
Ira here?
What's
okay,
up?
Harold. Okay, I'm looking for another guest to join us. All right. But, hey, listen, gang, you know,
oh,
we don't have time for these kind of people.
You don't need me?
No, Dusty, ease up, Hal. Don't get carried away. You know, hey, listen, the last thing I need is have Lady A marching around my house all night talking about where's Harold. Where's Harold?
Really, Doctor?
He's just jealous, Harold. He's just jealous. He's just jealous.
Hey, Harold, you already started something in your absence. Lady is already over here going off about Doc trying to give us some, and I quote, cheesy picture of you.
Hey, listen, but she's wrong. There could never be a cheesy picture of Harold Weston Jr. You know
Wait
I mean?
A minute. That was cheesy. It was cheesy, black and white. Face it.
Yes.
Face it. Let's face it.
Let's hop on this real quick. Last night's fight. Give me the inside scoop, Dusty. Wama and...
battle.
Tragically, like I said to you, and you question my wisdom. I'm only kidding with Doc. It was like I told you. If these guys, I don't know what happened to Puerto Rico trainers. If it ain't broke, don't fix. Wama Lopez fought worse last night than he did
Was that possible, Dusty? Was that possible?
Wait, hold up, stop. I want to inject something in the conversation because he just said the worst. My thing was Dusty. Listen, did you happen to catch the fact that every time he came in, it was like he was exposed?
Yeah,
his
chin up in the air, and he should have learned that. The last time was the same way, and he fought. You know, he looked like he wasn't in there at all. He looked like he was looking to be knocked out, and then he comes up with this glorious ninth round, missing more than he's connecting. And yet, you know, the funny thing about it, he hit Salido, I think it was in the fifth round, with a solid left hook, dropped him on the floor. He wasn't able to take advantage. You know, these guys, these Puerto Rican trainers, I'm sorry to sound ethnic, they don't teach body shots. They don't teach uppercuts. They don't teach, I don't know what they're teaching.
Well,
my,
you know, with all due respect,
my
he was.
My point is that here is a man who's 31-0 with 28 knockouts, and nobody discovered his flaws to correct them?
Well, that's
for
it.
God
that's where the problem's at. That's 31-0 with 28 knockouts. That's what's wrong with the game today. You guys are all these undefeated records, but nobody can fight when they finally get into a fight. And that's what I liked about the Mexican kid.
Well,
he had 11 losses, but you know what?
Yeah.
He can fight, and he was tough. And now that's the reason why he wins. And that's let's look at it, Dusty. He went to Puerto Rico to fight the kid one time. He knocked him out. He came back again.
He went back again.
And he knew they had to knock him out to win. And look at the scorecard when the fight was over.
Oh, my Lord, did you see that? Did you see that?
I mean, that's the fight. Juan
Malo was winning.
Yes.
My God.
What did you say, Dusty?
Juan Malo was winning. Thank God Salido knocked him out. Juan Malo was winning the freaking fight.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous judging
and
voting the whole time.
And I said yesterday, when we did the boxing special, and I was, I said it low so nobody could hear me that I was leaning towards you, but. I said two things I liked about the kid that had won before was he was a tough kid, you said, and he was fighting in his own ground. And more importantly, you know, I felt that once he had beat him and he wasn't the champ, it was no way in the world he was going to lose to him again once he became the champion.
Up, man. You know, and what I like about Salido, now this is a little comparison. There's some Mexican fighters that must have gone to the Antonio Margarito school. And that was Salido. Really. Salido came at you from the right angle, left angle. The man was throwing left uppercuts and right jabs and left hooks and right hooks. This guy could not get away from, like if he had a magnet on his forehead. I mean, these are battlers. Like you say, Harold, these are warriors. He started fighting pro at the age of 15, and he's still a young guy. He's 31.
Well, I was with some friends, and when Lopez started trying to show courage in that ninth round and was standing there, I said, he's going to get knocked out.
Exactly.
He's throwing all he can at the last minute. He's going to get knocked out. Sure enough, I knew he was going to get knocked out. But the fact was is that Lopez, in his situation, it wasn't that he was bad. The problem was the other guy was just better. You remember, he got better since the other fight. That was it. That was the whole thing. Lopez was just still Lopez. That's all it was.
Harold, I don't know if you caught too.
You have said this. You have said this redundantly. You have said this, that guys get to a point that they don't get better. And this is why you told the Blade, I saw Bobby Miles the other day, I said, okay, if you come to me, you got to get Bobby Miles because you've reached your zenith with the trainer you had. Evidently, this is the case here, Harold.
That's what it was. That's what the case was. And the fact is that, you know, I love the fact that all these great promoters and these managers and stuff think they're great. I'm going to predict this, and we're not going to be here when it all happens. But I predict our country, the United States of America, is getting so to be sissy, and we're getting so weak in the fact of building men to be men and people to be what they're at. And our next 40, 50 years, we're not going to be the strength that we are today because our culture is getting soft, very soft.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
When you get to the point that where you got the fighters, boxers, real boxers, being punks, which they are, a lot of them, and you got the military situation, you got a lot of chaos going on with it, okay? And you just got people that's getting soft. And believe me, other countries are watching this. And they're not getting soft. They're getting tough because they live in an environment where they got to be tough. And we're going to be the soft ones in the next 40, 50 years.
I'm just saying that
we ain't going to be here, but, you know, that's my prediction to the whole
speak for
world.
Yourself, Harold. Speak for yourself, baby. Lady A, you were going to say something, sweetheart?
Yeah, thank you. Right. Thank you. Do I have the floor now?
Go ahead.
Hey, I want to ask Harold a question, Harold.
Yeah.
I know you'll tell me the truth, Bobby. Did you happen to see early in the first couple of rounds when Salido was hitting him? Maybe I'm gonna say like maybe like a minute and a half into it, and he kept catching. He caught him like twice with a left hook and a right overhand.
Yeah.
He just kept landing that shot.
Yeah.
Well, nonstop.
Well, yeah, but the first three rounds, you saw that he was dominating him, and I think that's when Huama was like, oh wow, I better start doing something. By the fourth or fifth round, it was like, what is he doing? He only started getting into the fighting around the fifth round.
Yeah,
well,
he was out of space, man.
You got to understand, Lady A, with men, and this is people in general who's in competition, they think they're saving their energy for the late rounds if they don't throw in the first four or five rounds. When a guy like Phillies was coming to him and hitting him with body punches, well, he was hitting him with some good body punches.
Good shot.
Lopez didn't realize that his stamina was being taken out of him. You can get tired just being scared of somebody standing there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what fatigue calls when you can come in and take over your body. What they knew and what he knew about Lopez and what Lopez didn't know about him is that he knew his endurance and his determination was going to beat Lopez.
But you know what's funny, Harold? I don't know if you saw this, Harold. What was funny was is Toledo, you saw him getting tired because his mouth was open at the end of the last.
No, Toledo was not getting tired. What you got to look at, Lady A, always remember this. When the round is over and the guys go back to their corner, see how the guy sits back on his seat.
Right.
The guy flops down, like falls down real hard. That one is tired. When one just sits down easy and then he gets up, he's not tired.
But he looked like he had his mouth open when he was fighting the last few rounds.
You know, some guys will breathe through their mouth.
Oh, okay, okay.
But one thing about Salido, I knew he knew how to pace himself. He knew what kind of fight this was going to be.
And his eyes were all jacked up, too. That's what had me going. I was thinking.
That's what I say. That's what I love about the guy. The guy was a warrior. He didn't care about the cut. He didn't care about the bruises. He didn't care about the knockdown. He came to fight. And that was the big difference in Lopez. Lopez just thought that he's just going to do what he, if he went to Disney, he'd have won the fight. But my point was is that he's been built off of these 30 wins that he thought he was invincible, that he was the best fighter in the world, and he was not. And what my man, this Lito, did was show him that you got to be a man to be in this ring. And he took the kid to school, and that was the best thing. Because those little punches he was throwing, those little up, they had a lot of snap in those punches, believe me. A lot of snap.
Absolutely.
They were short. There was a lot of snap in
Not
those
only
punches.
That, Harold, but in the eighth round, he was taking a lot of shots.
Yeah. I mean, he knew what he was facing. He knew what he was facing.
No, I'm talking about Lopez. He was getting hit very hard.
Lopez was getting hit the whole time. Even the couple
for
of rounds.
For the first
Lopez,
round, he got hit.
I thought Lopez won. He still was getting nailed in those rounds. That one thing
exactly.
about Cito, he knew how to dig those body punches and get this guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Doctor,
yeah, that's the whole thing. Going to work Rainbow. So the Channel Sports is definitely the show. We're talking about the big fight last night. Actually, nobody was stunned. Again, right here on Sports Def and Education, the legend Howard Weston Jr. Watch a small thing, how the guy sits on his stool. You can tell who's tied and who's not. And last night, Viva Mexico, Viva Zapata. Oh, Dr. Ari, did you join us yet? Doc? Okay, Nat, we got our baseball fan here?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, we'll get to baseball in a minute. Malcolm Cell, now you've heard something again very disturbing. Very disturbing. Lady A, Dusty, Harold have said without question, and these are the three greatest minds in the history of this sport and experts, they said no way in the world was Wyman winning this fight, and yet, Malcolm Cell, again, we've had a situation where the hometown guy, and Harold has been, I never forget Harold's story where the commission was the referee. But Mel, how disturbing is this to find out that here's a guy who's the champion, here's a guy who has ventured into the homeland of the opponent, and he's not getting a fair deal. If the fight had went to distance, Wyman's going to win.
Doctor, Howard and Dusty would probably say it's just another example of take care of your own business. Don't leave it up to the judges. Because, there was a time, I mean, there have always been things going on and unfair rulings, okay, Doc? But there was a time where maybe if you even weren't fighting another guy's hometown, if you beat the heck out of them, sometimes you actually could get a decision. But it seems as though these days, unless you take care of your business yourself and put the guy away early, you really don't want to leave it up to the judges. And let me also say this, okay? And Alan and Dusty were absolutely right, okay? Sometimes it's so much better. Now, guys don't want to see this on their record, but as Howard and Dusty was saying, sometimes it's better to have a loss or two on your record, maybe even more, because that means, hey, you know, and maybe you learn from your mistakes. These days, guys want your boy so much to have a zero next to their record that they don't want to fight anybody. You don't get to learn anything. You don't move up. You don't advance. You don't know what it's like to do when you're under duress. You're just used to knocking guys out and having your way. Like Harold and Dusty said, sometimes it's better to have that over move, but have fought somebody. So when you get in these situations, hey, it's me and you, money. We can both fight. Instead of, well, what do I do now?
Here,
this guy and he ain't, instead of him hitting this guy and he ain't going nowhere, what do I do now?
But the thing is, this dude didn't learn. Hold on, Dusty. We'll get
feedback from you, Rooney, so maybe check your microphone over there.
Yeah. This
so,
guy
Dusty,
didn't learn
ahead.
From the first fight. And he kept saying, yes, I learned, I got my head together, everything is fine. But what Sonido said, I knocked him out before, but I still study his films to see what else he was going to come with. That's another thing, the study, the playbook to prepare, because this guy... I'm fighting him back in my hometown. I mean, in his hometown. He's going to come back with all his hammers. He's going to come back with all his tools. I got to get myself a level higher than the dude because of the fact that I'm fighting him back in his hometown and the fact he may come with something new. The fact of the matter is, Salido said it. He says he didn't show me anything. He fought the same way as before.
What can he do? He doesn't know nothing else.
This is what I'm saying. You and Harold
have said this. Too many guys today are one-dimensional. And last night, we saw it happen one more time.
Doc, you're saying that, but here's another thing I noticed, and I don't know if the other guys noticed, too. And I noticed that a lot with southpaws, and maybe Harold, could elaborate a little more. What I noticed is every time he was trying to throw the straight left, Kwama, okay, because he's a southpaw. Did you guys notice, like, when he would throw it and then he would square up to him? It was like he was giving him his body. So that's why he was hitting him the way he was hitting him, because it seemed like when he shot the left, it was like he was shooting the left. I didn't see him pushing his punches. Because you guys know when you punch, you got to go straight through. I didn't see him pushing his punches, but it just looked like he was shooting his left. It was like he was squaring himself up to him, so he's getting nailed.
Yeah, he was fighting him refrigerator instead of going at an angle. He's supposed to fight at an angle.
Exactly.
Dusty,
exactly.
Huh? What'd you say, Dusty? You were doing what?
You're fighting him what we used to call refrigerator, broadside. And he caught everything. He caught right hand.
I don't know if you guys caught that. Maybe Harold. I mean, I don't know if Harold saw it, but I was like, what is he doing? Like, when he would shoot the left, it was like he was giving him his the wrong angle.
Right. Okay, Lady A.
Always remember this, Lady. Every southpaw, only very few southpaw know how to duck their head.
Right.
It's all southpaw.
Why, Harold? Why?
With a right,
why, Harold?
With a right hand and a left
Harold.
Hand.
Because, well, why is that?
Because, like Dusty said, they're like the refrigerator. They're going to stand right in front of you like they're going to
exactly.
be right there in front of you.
Exactly.
Right.
I saw
they
all the time.
No, they can't make no other movement. That's the funny thing about southpaw. That's become nobody wanted that. Back in the day, nobody wanted a fighter that fight southpaw. Because southpaw was so easy to hit and beat. That's become the old guy said southpaws have got it.
Remember that, Dusty? Remember that, Dusty?
Yeah. I'm talking about Let me tell you
came
something.
In the Southport, they said, we turn you around, boy. If you don't want to turn around, get out of here. Go get your job.
So, Harold, with all due respect, I hate to inject this name in the conversation, but I think that that's a good part of the reason why Juan Manuel Marquez was able to kind of expose Pacquiao, because he kept shooting him over to the other side and forcing him over to the other side, exposing him.
That's the whole thing. That's a gum Pacquiao can even beat Marquez. Because he knew how to be a fighter southpaw, and when he hit him with that uppercut with a southpaw can duck,
exactly
that messes him up, and that's when he scared to death of Marquez. He thought Juan Marquez was finished or he didn't have no legs, but
right.
when he don't show that he had
and
left.
And then when you add that,
no
Harold, when you add that with the fact that Manny Pacquiao's main weapon is the straight left. And you constantly moving him to the other side, you're going to expose him. Correct.
Right. And that goes, when somebody knows how to fight a southpaw, believe me, you can beat every southpaw. The southpaw does not want to mess with you. Believe they cannot
hear
you.
Harold. How come? So you're telling me, and what I've always said, you're telling me that our man, Hector Camacho, was exceptional. And why?
Yes, he was.
Why?
Because that was a difference. They broke the ball with Hector Camacho.
Yeah, everybody will come out. You got to understand, look what Camacho did. He moved his head. He was always moving on his feet, okay? He had fast hands. That he was a difficult southpaw to fight. That was the big difference with South Camacho. And when Camacho was not being one place, he'll skip somewhere else and move somewhere else, but he'll duck and everything. If you look at every south, Marvin Hagler didn't duck his head. What was the other guy's name?
Pernell Whitaker.
He did a little ducking. I mean, but he just did it. They put everybody who was tailor made pretty much in front of him. But the fact
how back up. Now what do you mean tailor made? What do you mean tailor made, Harold?
Well, tailor made because people was already stationary. As long as he's stationed in front of you, they don't move their head.
Exactly.
He can get his hands off quicker. And you know, you remember what Pernell Whitaker used to do? How he used to duck? He got all the way down to the floor. Remember that?
Below the waist.
That's the way he did it.
Right, he would bend his knees. That's right, he would. He would bend his knees.
And the thing about Camacho, and the thing about Camacho's doc that made him so good was he wasn't one of those extremely awkward southpaws. Hector was very smooth, very fluid in his motions.
Exactly.
I've said this before.
Unique that a lot of guys can do. Hector was a southpaw. Hector knew how to counterpunch off as a southpaw. A lot of southpaws can't do that. Hector would counter off your punches when you throw punches at him. And that was a unique thing about it. Hector was that's what I told you, Doctor, when I told you. I said the only person that could beat Hector Camacho, he beat himself.
Harold, let me say it. It's Hector Camacho himself. You told me that, John Conner, and I've said this before, and you know how much I love Roberto. You know how I admire Ray Leonard. Hector Camacho beat both of them, but in his prime, he still could have beat both of them.
He would have.
No, you're wrong, Doc. In his prime, he don't beat Ray Leonard. I'm sorry.
Let me tell you something. Camacho was so skillful and so sharp with his punches. He knows before you even throw a punch. And that was so unique. I told you before, Doc. I said, if all fighters that I've had and I've seen, Camacho was the only fighter that I did not have to go to bed and worry about if he was going to lose the next day.
Harold, you told me they would call you on the phone and say, we got a fight next Friday. Do you want it? You would say, yeah. They would say, well, hold on, Harold. Don't you know who it is? And what would you tell them, Harold?
I don't care who it is, as long as you get them in the ring.
Yeah. I didn't say that about that. And that's how I praise coming from Harold, Doc.
Rooney, I'm going to tell you something, Rooney. I'm going to tell you now.
But he don't beat Ray Leonard, I'm sorry. But
no, Rooney, you're wrong, baby. You're wrong. Let me tell you something.
Rooney, I would have kicked Ray Leonard's butt. All right? So that's on
the show. Why did you have to say that, dude? Yo, little Rooney, why are you going
to run?
Hey,
out
hey,
the
hey okay. Listen, let me tell you something.
Yeah,
you can Rooney.
Rumble,
though. Rooney, let me tell you something, Rooney. All you need to know is that Ray Leonard never fought Harold Weston. All you have to know is that. Oh, you let you know that Ray Leonard never fought Aaron Price. Oh, you have to know that Ray Leonard didn't want to fight Durant, okay? And
hey,
Ray
God.
Leonard was losing
oh my
to
God,
Tommy Hearns.
Rooney.
Okay? So, I mean, you know Ray was a great fighter. But, you know, from what I hear, Ray always kind of had the deck kind of swayed. But, you know, he never fought the Hawk. He was losing to Tommy. You know, in that fight, it wasn't so much that Ray Leonard beat Tommy Hagg. Hearns beat himself in that
well,
fight.
Well, Doc, you got to give Ray some credit in the fact that he won a battle of attrition with Tommy. He won the battle of attrition, Doc.
What I'm trying
to
say here, Rooney, is that Hector Camacho, in my opinion, okay, Hector Camacho at his best on the right night, and you know how I love Roberto, he had the skills to beat Cholo, he had the skills to beat Rick. I'm going to tell you something, and Harold can tell you this. The Chavez people never made the Chavez Camacho fight until Chavez over there. How can tell you? What did Duke tell you? Keep that Puerto Rican away from my Mexican. And I've said this when Chavez fought Melvin Taylor, I said had it been Hector Camacho, there was only been two times he just saw Hector, when he introduced him and when he raised his hand after the victory. Hector Camacho was not a great fighter. Don't get it twisted. Hector Camacho was great. At one time, listen, Rooney, Don King brought
what
the
was Ray Leonard?
Maserati.
Doc, let me ask you something, Doc. If Hector was great, what was Ray Leonard? Tell me, what was he?
I'm not saying Ray ain't great. I'm not saying that, but I'm trying to say that Ray Leonard, on the right, listen, Ray Leonard just beat Wilfred Benitez. He just beat Wilfred Benitez.
The thing that
Marion Boykin said, Marion B. Boykin, black, bodacious, being a bro. When Durant beat the best Ray Leonard, and he beat Ray Leonard coming up two weight classes. He came up two weight classes past his prime and beat Ray. I mean, I'm not saying Ray ain't great, but Ray ain't the only great fight. Every week,
we got a
great fight here
at
Harold Weston. Huh?
But if you're going to tell me that you're going to take Hector Camacho and his prime over Ray Leonard, I got to disagree. I'm sorry.
No. I think Camacho at his prime and Ray at his prime, Camacho can beat Ray Leonard.
Ray Leonard can, but he won't.
Of course with it.
Huh? What's that, Rooney?
I said he can. Don't get me wrong, Doc. I'm not saying on every given night. That's how nice Hector was.
You don't understand about Hector Rooney. You don't understand how good this boy was. Okay?
I know how good he was, Doc, and I know how good Ray Leonard was, and I'm telling you, it's my opinion.
Rooney, right now,
America, everybody got opinions.
But I'm just saying, don't overlook Camacho.
That when Ray Leonard and Camacho fought, Camacho would beat Ray Leonard, because one thing Ray could not stand at times if a guy that's got faster hands than he does. That's what you don't know about Ray Leonard.
Well, that's true, but I think Ray's a better puncher than Hector was.
Ray was a fair puncher. He's a decent puncher, but he wasn't a great puncher. Tommy Hearns is a great puncher.
I mean, do you ever remember Ray Leonard knocking somebody out with just one dynamite punch? How many guys did Ray Leonard knock out?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did. He hit a dude.
How many times did he do it? He's not a one-punch knockout puncher the way Ernie Shaver was.
You got to say, who did he knock down? Was a good fighter with one punch. That's what you got
right,
to say.
Exactly. Because he fought dudes that were challenging him, and he knocked them out with one punch, a good level.
Yeah.
But who was great at his level? Okay, that's the equation
yeah.
here. Who
yeah.
was great at his level that he knocked out with one punch? Nobody. He had to be Tommy with an accumulation of body shots before he weakened Tommy.
Let me
tell you one thing. Let me
go down.
Get Ray off your get the great Ray Leonard off. Ray Leonard had to call me up. Call me up, him and Angelo Dundee, when they get ready to fight Tommy Hearn. If he's so great, he didn't have to call me up to get some information to beat Tommy Hearn.
Regular season in
the division, because once the playoffs start, I mean, it's really a crapshoot. You know, I mean, there's only, you got now this year, you're going to have the one game wild card round. You got the five game, you know, series. You got the seven game series. And, you know, so once the playoffs start, it's really anything can happen. So I think in that four division AL West, you know, that the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim or Anaheim Angels, that they'll, you know, that they've got a real, real legitimate shot. I mean, look at what Albert Pujols carried St. Louis, you know, to two World Series titles in the NL Central, you know, so I think they definitely got a shot.
I saw them play a game today, a spring training game today, and they were blowing them out. I think it's just 14 or something, the team they were playing. So it looks like they're definitely going to look good this season.
Yeah, that will be real interesting, too. I mean, that'll be great to see. It's a big contract. I mean, that will tell a lot about Albert Pujols. I expect him, you know, to be a competitor no matter what contract he got. But
do you see
be
Texas?
Interesting.
Do you see Texas and them again this season? Texas going again or no?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, in that division, I think those are the two teams. You know, I can see Texas again. You got players there with injury. You have Beltre, who's great but injury prone. You have Cruz, you know, who's has injury issues. You have Hamilton, who, you know, has injury issues and other off the field issues. So you, there's that variable, you know, of off the field and injury with Texas that's just hard to, you know, it we'll just see how that plays out. You know, no way to predict.
Now, would you say, before Dusty gets in, would you say Pujols going to the Angels, that the DH had a lot to do with that as opposed to him staying in the National League?
Oh, in my opinion, that had to be a huge thing to deal with it. I mean, how many more at-bats can you sneak in, you know, throughout the year? I think tons, and at the end of his career, you know, and even to making his career longer by getting him in the lineup some days now but keeping him off the field, I think that is absolutely, absolutely huge. I mean, that'd be huge in my thinking if I were him going there. Unfortunately, you know, I'm not, I mean, I'm not him.
It's Dusty. Dusty.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had a question for Nat?
Oh, wow, yeah, let me see if I remember what it was.
We're talking about the
yeah,
the
right, spring, no. What I meant to say, I wanted to add on Ozzie Guillen, he was so respected despite his erratic behavior that he wasn't fired, correct me if I'm wrong, he was traded to the Marlins. You know, they said, here, take this guy. He's going to build up the Marlins. And you know, usually you take a manager, you fire him, and the heck with if he's unemployed. But he was went from one good team to build up another team that was always floundering on the edge, and now with the addition of the Reyeses and changing positions, they should be contenders today. And I think Reyes is if I think you said it, if he remains healthy, should be the firebrand of that team with Ozzie Guillen being the manager, and they should be contending. I don't see the Phillies, and I don't see St. Louis being the dark horses in this season here. You know, the addition of Albert Pujols, sure, is a boost. Yeah, but you know, it takes nine ball players to make a team, you know, work. You know, and hopefully he shouldn't be made to be the plow horse to carry the team. Bobby Abreu wanted to stay because Pujols came on board, so and he's a good ball player. So you know, you should be able to balance out, you know, that everybody has to be playing the same way. Now another the question too, with the addition of the errand boy, Manny Ramirez to Oakland. What does that do to Oakland?
Oh, Manny Ramirez? Wait, or the...
Yeah.
Or the
he's now a born-again Christian, by the way, so go ahead.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, he is.
And it turns to amen.
Yeah.
Well, he's I mean, everybody says, you know, he's been like the mentor, you know, for this Cuban defector, and I guess Manny Ramirez is the ultimate wild card, but I think really for what $500,000, I think that's a great signing. I mean, that's I mean, you have low risk, you know, and he misses the first 50 games or whatever. But I mean, I think that's a great signing for the A's, and the A's have had success with signing older DHs, you know, in the past too, you know, with Frank Thomas at the end of his career.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And low risk, high reward. I like it a lot. I don't re- I mean, $500,000, I mean, what, even in the worst case scenario, you know, I think that's a great signing.
Let me ask you a question too. I mean, just to deviate and go back to Miami. I mean, was the situation between Hanley Ramirez and Jose Reyes, do you think that that's still going to have some effect on the team, or you think that that's pretty much going to be worked out and they'll be all right?
I mean, I haven't heard too many details, but I would assume that would work out. You know, I mean, it works out. I mean, I guess it's a little different situation, right? Because I mean, from my understanding, I mean, hasn't Jose Reyes has been playing short, and Hanley Ramirez
mm-hmm.
moved over to third. I mean, that's a little
mm-hmm.
different than A-Rod going to New York and A-Rod, you know, because Derek Jeter was already there. But I would imagine that would all work out, especially with a strong, you know, strong presence of Ozzie Guillen as manager. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think that's really important to have him as manager, because I don't think.
Real quick now, is that looking at that has to be a big plus. The fact that you have these two Latin players and
yeah.
you have the Latin manager, that goes a long way into being able to make the situation work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think so, especially the established manager, because if you remember there was, you know, a rift between, you know, previous managers, you know, and Hanley Ramirez and manager,
yeah.
you know, trying to assert, you know, his power versus Hanley Ramirez. And I just can't see, you know, I feel that Ozzie Guillen will be able to assert his power in a natural way without having to make a show of it, let's say, without having to remove Hanley Ramirez from a game with Vincent. He'll be able to command that respect, I imagine, you know, just by walking in the room with his credentials, you know, and what he's done in baseball. I mean, as a player, but also as a manager, you know, having
yeah.
the World Series.
Always helps when you have a ring, Doc. Always helps when you have a ring.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, there's no question about it. You know, and like I said, it doesn't hurt that they both, as they say, the old saying, speak the same language. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake, we're the New York Rainbow, so the channel Sports Depth of the show. Looking for Dr. Ira to join us. We must have some problems there. We're going to Sea Wings. What's happening in the world of football, Sea Wings?
Hey, Doc, and good evening to the panel here.
Hold on, no, before you even start, did you tell Lady A that her favorite quarterback got a big extension?
Oh, yeah, big time. They gave him a 3-year extension for a total of 5 years. He has $58 million with $20.5 million guaranteed in 2012.
The sound of my silence is the sound of, like, the AED in the background. As they're loading up and charging everything up, because I'm about to flatline right now.
Don't worry, lady. We're all thrilled about the whole thing. Trust me, that extension throws me off, though.
They have to get him a viable backup. I mean, you know, they have to get rid of dead weight, which is
backup. They need a whole new quarterback backup.
I still think he's the guy for New York.
Oh,
he took him to two AFC championships as a rookie quarterback.
Listen, at the end of next season,
he looked real bad last year. Now, let's admit he doesn't have anything around him, the receivers, the offensive line, as any note. But he regressed last year. There's no question about it.
I mean, he committed 26 turnovers last year. The last season, the second highest. But we still have to look at what he did for the team. Any quarterback, I don't care if it's Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, when you don't have those tools around you, and like Doc said, and I totally agree with him, when they lost Randy Moss, look what happened.
Yeah, but stop for a second. Everybody's judged on what you're bringing in to me now. Now.
Yeah, they need to bring them weapons now.
No,
they
need
to
like win a Super Bowl now.
What they need is an offensive line and some receivers, that some go-to guys, and an offensive line.
Well, now, C-Wings, supposedly, he got this contract after Peyton Manning no longer was part of the Jets' sweepstakes. When Manning was unobtainable, either not wanting to come here, or they not wanting him here, either or, once it became a factor that Manning was no longer going to come here, then they turned around and said, Mark, can we talk to you for a minute? Any truth to that?
Well, you know what? I think the Jets were gonna, you know, come on. They had to pitch for Peyton Manning. I think in reality they thought that they weren't gonna get him. But you know what? They're the Jets. You have Tannenbaum. You have Ryan. And you have Woody Johnson. You know, of course, you know, being in a big market like this, they were gonna go after the biggest, free agent in probably the last 25-30 years in NFL history. So why not go after him? I don't think they were going to get rid of Mark Sanchez, but I think he has 2 years to really turn it around. But they have to give him the weapons to do it. I mean, you see,
but
when he has the weapons.
What does Sanchez do to warrant an extension, see? I don't think the guy did anything to warrant an extension. I mean, if you want to give him again, I think he is under contract for another 2 years.
Can I just throw this in there?
Lady A wants to say that Rooney, his last name is not Schottenheimer. Come on, ease up off him, Rooney. His last name is not Schottenheimer.
The guy's done nothing to warrant a new contract. Not absolutely nothing. What they need, this should have been a year where they gave him some weapons, put something around him and said, look, prove to us, you know, prove to us that you're worth your weight in gold. This should have been his sink or swim year. And they should have brought him back up and pushed him a little bit. You don't give the guy a brand new contract when he's coming off the worst year of his career.
They would have owed him a lot of money anyway if they tried to sign Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning really doesn't fit into this team. I don't think he really wants to come there.
Okay,
like
but get
brought,
somebody
like,
else.
Like I brought
I'm
up, like I brought
this,
up,
come on.
Like I brought up yesterday, Peyton Manning could have been drafted to the New York Jets back in 1997. But
exactly.
In order for him to turn it down, he returned to play for the Tennessee Volunteers for one more year when he would have been the number one overall draft pick then. But
right.
He knew that the Jets were going to come after him. He didn't want to have anything to do with them. So I don't think he would fit here anyway.
Why wouldn't the best quarterback of his era fit in here in New York, number one, and he, as Lady A says, and Rooney, he's got to be better than Sanchez.
Hold on, Doc, can I just say one thing? I'm sorry.
Sea Wings.
Can I?
Hold on. Back up. My question is, why would he? You know, you said he wouldn't fit here. My question is, why would the best quarterback of his generation not be able to fit here? And two, as Lady A and Rooney are saying, anybody right now is better than Mark Sanchez.
No, I have to disagree.
Well, I'm not really saying that, Doc.
No, how can you disagree?
You and I were sitting up there watching him. He doesn't have a gun for an arm. I mean, look how many times he threw the football. Let's put it like this. Jets football is ground and pound. There's nothing extraordinary about Mark Sanchez. Has he proven to you that he's got this great arm?
He struggles to throw down the field.
I still think that
you look at the 2010-2011 season when they had, I think it was back-to-back, 3 or 4 weeks of back-to-back comebacks overtime. That was history. I mean, and that was all on Mark Sanchez. Does he struggle going down the field? Of course he does. But I still think he put up thousands and thousands of yards. He's almost up there over the Washington quarterback, the guy that they got from Chicago. He's washed up. He's been in the league, what, 9, 10 years? And
Grossman?
Put up,
yeah.
Not, yeah, Grossman. He's put up over 9,000 yards. Sanchez, he's up there for 3 years. So everybody struggled when they first came in. Even when Peyton Manning, like I said yesterday, Doc and Dusty and Rooney, yesterday, the press conference where Jim Mora was at playoffs, and which was a very famous or infamous press conference.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning was the quarterback then.
Exactly.
So everyone has struggled when they came into the league. So I think that he has some work to do. He's only been in the league 3 years. I think he's going to get better, in my opinion.
Hold on, Dusty. I think I got extra call. Is somebody calling in that's not speaking with us?
Hello, it's the doctor. He's in the house, man.
Okay, Doc, I've been waiting for you to sit. Okay, we'll get to you in a minute and talk about some college basketball in a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Dusty.
I know the whole truth, man. You want to know the truth about what happened with the Jets?
What's the truth?
The truth is that Peyton Manning wasn't coming here. He told the Jets he wasn't coming here. When that happened, they only have one quarterback left. So even if they're going into the market for a free agent quarterback like Flynn from Green Bay, there ain't no guarantee. So they were forced to sign Sanchez for extra years, but that doesn't mean that they won't go out and get a free agent. And Sanchez basically loses out. Don't forget, you can release a quarterback and need a contract. So we'll make him tradable. So it was only Peyton forced their hand. They had no choice. So the rest is all speculation on everyone's part, but that's the deal. Peyton said, not coming here. You could sell him to Brooklyn Bridge, give him the Brooklyn Bridge. It ain't going to happen. He didn't want to be in town with his brother. He didn't want to compete with his brother.
Peyton was never coming here anyway. He wasn't coming to a cold weather place. He
absolutely
wasn't coming to a place with no offensive line. He wasn't coming to a place with no line.
NFL wanted him here, okay? They got a Super Bowl here next year, not this year, the year after. You don't think they wanted Peyton to be against his brother? One of the biggest stories ever?
Of course.
So
they didn't want him to play.
Don't mean diddly. The guy went to Denver. There's a good chance he signs in Denver. Does it snow in Denver? Yes, it does.
He has a better chance of signing with Florida.
If he chooses it, because that team's on the rise. He ain't going to go to a strange coach in Miami.
Let me repeat this so you hear me clearly. He was never coming to the New York Jets, okay? He wasn't going to come to a place. First of all, a cold weather place like New York, Jersey. He wasn't coming. Let me finish. He wasn't coming to a place that has no offensive line. And this is a football team.
Don't give me
Hold on.
They got one weak link on the line. Don't say no offensive line.
What would you want Wayne Hunter to do for you? A guy named Hunter.
They expected more of him. He fell out.
We will not be in the hospital again.
Boy, gentlemen.
Was never coming to New Jersey. Never. That was a pipe dream from day one.
Well, gentlemen, hold on.
I think you'll see him Arizona or Kansas City.
Why did the Jets bring in Tom Moore last year as a consultant? That was Peyton's offensive coordinator, okay? For years, he made Peyton. That's why they put Tom Moore in as a consultant, okay? Because they would have had a good shot at Peyton. Family
Peyton
decision.
Didn't want the Jets then, back in 97. He didn't want any part of it.
Yeah,
you know why? And to answer your question, Doc, I think the reason why I don't think he would get the control as quarterback the way he had in Indianapolis just by the way the Jets run the organization. I don't think he would have that. No, he wouldn't get it.
If he's going to win games, you think that Rex Ryan is going to say, hey, you got to ground and pound? Come here, break.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just by the way the Jets organization runs. He would not. Not at 36, coming off of a neck, three neck surgeries.
Are you a doctor? I'm a doctor, a real doctor. Okay.
Ira. Okay, gentlemen. Ira, calm down. Hey, the panel is here. No need to shout. We relax. We know you're a doctor. Great insight.
Well, I don't know how much sound comes out of this phone.
Okay, well, hey, listen. Hey, let me tell you what. It's all coming out of yours. Gentlemen, hold on. Hold on a minute, gang. We got to take a break. We'll be right. Hey, Dr. I'll say this. We hear you loud and clear. Hold on, gang. We'll be back in a minute. Hold on. We'll be back in a minute. Hold on. We got to do
it. Did the Knicks fire Dan Tony?
Hold on. Doc Stanley, Sports Devil on the Blake Radio Soul Set Forcing as a show. Doc, what'd you say? Doc Stanley, Sports Devil on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul of Town, Sports Devil for the show. We're going to take a break, come back. Dr. Eyes with us. We're going to talk college basketball. We're going to talk pro basketball. We're going to talk to him. He just said, why is Dan Tony still here? And we want you to still be here. Give us just a minute. We'll be right back with Sports Devil on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul of Town, Sports Devil for the show. Dr. Eyes, so good to have you here with us. Don't nobody move, nobody say a word. Lay 80, lady 8, don't move.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guests are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, African studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul of Town. Dusty, let's get to you real quick. Now, we got some spots here we got hit. We want everybody to remember that the First Lady of Cable, it's number one female reporter and is prettiest, Crystal Hart, Wednesdays 9 p.m., and she's on Channel 83 on NCW and Verizon Channel 34. Big St. Patrick's Day gathering show she's got on this Wednesday. You always check her out. She's the foremost and number one female sportscaster and is loveliest on cable television. So she's got a big show happening this weekend. We got some fights coming this weekend, but she's got a St. Patrick's special. Dusty, let's go to Lehman College now. What's happening over there?
Oh, Lehman College, of course, you know, is the big Latino hangout. You know, Leah Graham, the great promoter, who's a very dear friend of ours, and come March 24th, one of her big concerts is being sponsored by. I mean, is being held. That's March 24th at Lehman Community Performing Arts, and it's you know, people don't realize. Everybody talks about the Gran Combo, but it's Sonora Ponceña that's the oldest and richest, with more tradition than a Gran Combo. They come out of Ponce, and that's Saturday, March 24th. And, you know, you can very easily call the box office and reserve your tickets. A lot of folks say, well, I'll go, and I don't go, and I don't feel like going. But believe you me, when you get there, you realize that what she promotes is a tremendous concerts, and you could it's in Bedford Park in the Bronx, and you cannot miss these shows. These shows are tremendous, and she has the other orchestra, which some of the guys I know, the old musicians from El Barrio, is called Ocho y Bas. And those guys are going to be there, and believe you me, they can really play some tunes, man. So it's important to keep that. Yeah, call the box office at Lehman College and reserve your tickets, or just go there. You could take the number 4 train to Bedford Park, the D train to the Bronx. It's in the Bronx, folks. This as well, where all the big happenings of Latin music is. It's in the Bronx at Lehman College, so you should be able to get your tickets and the ticket box office is number is 718-960-8833. 718-960-8833. Don't sit there Sunday the 25th and say, ah, man, I should have gone. And, man, you know, there's a added enjoyment, because in the lobby when you walk in, there's the kiosk of the Cuchifritos and the Pastelillos and all that stuff is out there. And the record distributors, where you can buy records at a cost price. There's T-shirts. I mean, it's a whole Latino hold-out on Saturday. Jaleah Graham, and she does a great job. I've been working with her for the last two or three years, and believe you me, you really enjoy it. You'll get to meet some of your friends who really enjoy that. So, you know, Sonora Ponceña, Ocho y Mas at the Lehman Center of Performing Arts, right in Lehman College. You can't miss it. Right in Bedford Park, right on Port Avenue. So, you know, you got to go out there and enjoy it.
We
got
to take our hat off to Leah, too. She always keeps us abreast. And Stephanie's great show.
Always,
in January.
Always sends us stuff, and we do a lot of work for her. I wrote a column for her, so one of the magazine articles, and she was delighted, you know. And so we reciprocate. You know, she's a nice person.
Not only that, too, you know, she had...
Doc, I'm going to sign off.
Hold on, lady. Where you go? Before you run out, real quick, Lena, she had that the OJs. OJs here, the 16th of January.
I was in Brazil. Yeah, she has a special for Michael Jackson. I mean, she does everything.
She's the best.
Paquito de Rivera, Eddie Palmieri, Latin jazz, Charlie Bird, Paquito de Rivera.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah. We'll get back to commercial. Lady A, you're going to break. Before you break, okay, the question I wanted to ask you. With Walmart's second consecutive loss.
Well, I just wanted to give another plug. He was doing a plug. I was just going to give a plug to the guys out at Riverhead, Long Island, who put together the new sports and depth jacket.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and put together that. A lot of kudos to Justin Nash. Did an exceptional job on the hats, exceptional job on the jackets. So to all those listeners out there, they could click on the new page we got, right, Doc, and see the photos. So.
Yeah. Well, actually, we've got on the Sports and Depth now. We're going to show the jacket that Lady A just got. Eventually, we'll put the cap on there. But they've done a great job. We're looking to use them for T-shirts down the line. Also, they are right now. They're the Sports and Depth people who are getting us out there with caps and T-shirts. So they're first and foremost the people that we trust and rely on, and we can trust them. No doubt, no question. You can also. And, you know, Lady A discovered them. We appreciate what they've done for us, and you definitely will love their work because it's the absolute best. Because here at Blake Radio and Sports in Depth, perfection is not the way we go. It's the only way we go. Lady A, is Walmart done? Second straight loss. You know, they blew the fight with him, and Gamboa would have killed him. But is he done? He's still young, but as Howard said, he's not learning.
28.
He's not that young. Then that's easy. Two straight losses. Lady, is he done? Is he done?
I mean, you know, he was exposed. I don't think it's anything that he can't try to fix. I mean, bad habits are hard to change, but, I mean, I don't think that, you know, if he goes in the gym, he can't fix some of the things he, you know, that are wrong. I mean, you know, everybody has their nemesis. You know, Pacquiao had Marquez. You know, he has Toledo. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So, you know,
but he's going to need.
Yeah, nah. And he's got to work on his defense. I mean, just like Harold said, the guy's got to work on his defense. You can't be right there for the guy to punch you. I mean, you got to work on your defense. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, at 28 years of age, you know, at 28 years of age, he's still young enough.
Stick it up in the air.
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean,
but Lady A, a guy you respect, one of your favorite fighters, he's fighting this weekend. We'll be there, good Lord willing. Sergio Martinez Mavaluso. McCracklin, this should be no problem for him?
Oh, I don't think if he thinks that, then he's got something else coming. I mean, another thing, like, just to allude back to my man Harold, you know, these European fighters come here, they come ready, you know, so you can't sleep on anybody. You know, I definitely think that, you know, Martinez is fast. He's getting up there in age. You know, but this guy's not a pushover, that's for sure, you know.
He didn't look good in the workout. He stunk.
Yeah?
Yeah, right. Look good?
Nah, he didn't look good.
Last thought before you go, your reaction to Paul Williams coming back into boxing?
Oh, I didn't even know he's coming back?
He fought a Japanese guy. The guy that knocked out Kirkland.
Who's that, Ishido? He fought Ishido?
He almost killed Ishido.
Yeah, I missed that fight. I didn't get a chance to watch.
Yeah,
I was watching Ariola tell off Don King.
Yeah.
That same night. I was watching Chris Ariola tell off Don King.
Chris, he won the championship, didn't he?
Yeah, he won the belt, yeah.
No,
I don't know. Was that the IBF that he won, Dusty? I think it was the IBF, right?
Yeah, some alphabet belt, man. But he got another belt. Now they're talking about him going after the Klitschko's again. That's burial time because he ain't gonna get nothing. Man.
He's not ready for the Klitschko's.
Well, you know, they can talk. You know, like I said, talk is cheap. I want me a belt. I want to go after him again. Come on, David Haynes.
Everybody's ready for the Klitschko's.
Let's go to Harold. Harold, what's your thought of the Klitschko's? These guys, they're doing their own self promotions. They're fighting everybody in their home country. What's your thoughts on the Klitschko's? Are they that good? Are they wrong for doing self promotions?
They're heavyweight champ of the world. That's all I can say. They're heavyweight champ of the world. There's nobody else. I mean, the last guys that they have fought, they beat everybody that's in the division. So, I mean, basically, they're the best out there.
Let me ask Harold this question.
Harold, do you think that Klitschko beat Lennox Lewis?
No, I don't think it did, but I think that if they'd have fought again, he'd have beat Lennox Lewis.
Yeah, he gave him a hard time.
He gave him a real hard time. If he didn't get busted up, if he didn't get cut, he could caught up with Lennox Lewis. But he got busted, and that was Lennox. Why do you think Lennox Lewis quit? Lennox Lewis was on the downstairs, and they knew that. And Emmanuel said you need to retire, and that's when he got out before he really got his credibility knocked off.
Thank you. Because, you heard that, Doc? You heard what
he said? Because if Raheem, whatever his name is, can hit him with that right hand and knock him
out
the next week.
I was McCall. I mean, I never thought Lennox was an elite heavyweight. He was a champion, but I didn't see Leonard. When you talk about the good heavyweights of all time, Lennox Lewis doesn't fit in my category of the great heavyweights of all time.
So at least Harold
came along
at
the right time, Doc.
Huh?
He was very fortunate to come along at the right time. He's a fair heavyweight, not a great heavyweight by any means.
I wasn't impressed with him as a heavyweight.
Okay, Doc, I was talking about some basketball. Let's go back to you. Last night, Louisville won the Big East. First time you ever had two teams in the finals that won from the Big East. How far can Louisville go, Doc?
I think Louisville is going all the way. I don't call Louisville Louisville anymore. I call it Patinoville, okay? They got this kid, Siva, who stepped up just like Kemba stepped up last year. He's the man. And they got this kid, Russ Smith, who'll pick your pockets. He leads the country in assists. He learned all of this on West 4th Street in the cage. So I'm going with Louisville to go all the way, and this is Patino's year.
Now, Patino, he seems to be a coach that good teams seem to follow. How good of a coach is he? And you personally know him. Give us some ins and outs about Rick Patino.
Patino, Hall of Fame. Okay? He started under Hubie Brown back in the day with the Knicks. He's about 60 years old already. He's won it all already. He's a Hall of Fame coach, no doubt. And if you watch him coach, he's more into coaching right now than he's ever been. So all the little issues that were surrounding him and buying horses and going into the wrong bathroom, all of these issues are gone. He's all basketball now.
Doc, you say going into the wrong...
He didn't know the men's room from the ladies' room. Everyone makes that mistake once in a while.
Doctor, real quick. No, you're a dentist now. You're a dentist to the NBA stars. You're the guy that works on the mouth for some of the most prestigious basketball players in history of this game.
That may be true. And listen, you come to my office, we're above Victoria's Secret. Can you beat that? 133-58. I got to give me a plug.
Yeah, no problem. And I'll give us a little background now.
We got to talk a little about that. What's his name? Dantini? What's his name?
Dolan,
a bunch of D's there, right? Basically, there were two D's he should have gotten rid of. He got it wrong, the wrong two D's. He should have got rid of himself because he's cancer, but the other cancer is D'Antoni. Here, they let go of Donnie Walsh. Donnie Walsh did everything with that team, put him in the position to potentially win the championship. And what happened? Dolan takes over a negotiation that doesn't exist. Donnie knows Carmelo's coming in the summer. Dolan, who's going to sell tickets the next day at an increase of 50%, says, Donnie, listen,
I need Carmelo today, but I'm raising prices tomorrow. I'm now negotiating. It wasn't a negotiation. We got raped.
Yeah. I'm with that. And Walt certainly was the guy that should have stayed. And not only that, but, and I'm with him on D'Antonio. I never thought should have got the job to begin with. And not only that, but, and I know guys have been hurt, and I know guys have had, you know, deaths in the family, and Stoudemire, again, is playing with a very heavy heart. But, Doc, they just have not played like All-Stars this year. Carmelo hasn't played like an All-Star, and neither has Amori. They just haven't played up to their games this year.
Well, you're absolutely right about D'Antoni and not being the right coach for these guys. But when they hired D'Antoni, you got to remember, they number one, they had to keep Fannies in the seat. Number two, he had a name, and he had success in Phoenix because his seven-second system worked for seven guys in Phoenix. They won 60 games 3 years in a row. What people don't remember is there's no D in D'Antoni, but a lot of people know that.
No,
right
there
now.
Isn't.
And
they also won those 60 games.
In the playoffs. They couldn't get past the first
right.
round.
And he also won those 60 games with Steve Nash and, what is it, Amari Stoudemire and company.
And Marion.
But you know what, guys? It seems like that the Knicks, I saw the game today, and it seemed like, I don't know if it's fatigue or they're really starting to give up. I mean, they're starting to have that look again. Even Clyde Frazier was talking about it today, the Dan Headlights look. But they're starting to have that same look before Linsanity took
right.
over. It's really starting
right.
to
They're playing with no passion. They're not playing with
You're
any
right.
passion at all.
Understand this. If you don't have the leader, D'Antoni, you're going to lose the locker room. Players are players. They know D'Antoni is a boob. Because the guy in practice, and I have this from a lot of people and experts, that's all I'll say because they attend practice, the guy spends zero minutes on defense in practice. So Isaiah called up Mr. Dolan, the guy he's in bed with, and basically said, listen, bring in my guy Woodson, okay? So he brings in his guy Woodson, but Woodson, he's not D'Antoni's boy. His brother's his boy because he was an AAU coach. Never coached anywhere except an AAU team. Okay? He has his other assistant there on his left hand, Weber, pretty boy. All he did in Phoenix, he never coached a day in his life. He was basically the guy that threw basketballs to the guy to shoot before a game and in practice. So D'Antoni listens to nobody. He never listened to Donnie Walsh. So,
yeah, you're right.
Here you look at a situation where Woodson is the most qualified coach there, okay? He's Isaiah's boy, obviously. But the guy has a past history of playing in Indiana with the general for Bobby Knight, and he played, basically coached Atlanta. But before that, he was a guy named Larry Brown's first assistant coach. So the guy learned from the right people. He's not really a defensive guru, but he knows his basketball because he learned by the right people.
He does, absolutely.
So, but I think he's a lame duck coach at this point. I think he's a lame duck coach.
Why did they fire him today? It was a perfect opportunity. I was waiting for the news. I asked Clyde after the game, did they fire him yet? Listen,
I think
they're going to
let him play it out. I think they're going
to
let him coach out the
team. What did he do to shake up the team? You fired a manager. You fired a coach. The team wakes up, especially they're happy he's gone. There's a guy there, number 85, right, without injuries, and if he likes his coach, he's one of the top 5-6 point guards in talent in the league, okay? But what happened when Linsanity comes in, the media jumps on this guy. The guy is a rookie, okay? And so here, D'Antoni, who can't coach, who can't figure out whether he should be running like in Phoenix, play slow down, play off court, play whatever, play high pick and roll, he can't figure this out. So what does that leave Melo? Melo doesn't know what to do. And it's all up to Linsanity, who's a rookie. So basically, if you watch that second team, put Lin with the second team, with Jumpit, Novak, have Jeffries in the back, and have JR. That is firepower, great defense, hard to bring the ball
yep.
over half court. Now you've got a starting lineup that's going to work together because they have the guy they wanted, point guard. We all know what the Baron can do if he's healthy, and he's healthy. He's shown flashes of it throughout the game they played. Look what happened with Milwaukee. They put him in 4 minutes to go, 14-point lead with down to one. And if Stoudemire had stronger hands, they would have won the game. But that's Stoudemire's weakness. He's got weak hands.
Well, I think it's definitely an avalanche. I mean, it's they have to play Chicago tomorrow. I mean, they did have a five-game.
They're going to lose three more in a row, four more in a row. Check their schedule. They play Portland at home. They play Chicago tomorrow. And the Pacers are the hottest team in the league. They can lose four more in a row. How many is that in a row then?
That would be nine.
That's nine losses
right,
in a row.
And they're playing like they started off playing throughout the year. No defense, playing with no passion, seem to be disinterested, no sense of urgency. I mean,
reflection of the coach.
They're playing like the Jets played their last game. They just want to get it over with.
You're correct. And what does that have to do with they had no faith in Sanchez?
Yeah. No, they really don't have any faith in Sanchez. And I still say give them more guaranteed money, I got to tell you. I mean, this year is going to make a break.
But that's always the model.
They gave a guy, okay, who started all of 10 games in college, okay? They gave him the house right? He was the franchise. How do you do that? You think Bill Parcells would have done that? Give me a break. Parcells only could quarterbacks with 20 years experience. He won a couple of championships, I think.
Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake. We're the Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports Network for the show. Our basketball, college, and inside the NBA expert, Dr. I. Look, Hoopsa didn't join us tonight. Real quickly, we've got to take a quick look at the Justin Guard Sports and Depth Hall of Fame. Lady A. Left was going through the Hall of Fame. As you know, DocStanleySports.com. That's the site. The doctor is en route to Brazil in the ensuing months of this year. But in talking to Dusty yesterday, I'm looking at a pair of old boxing gloves, and I grab one of the gloves, and I look, and there's an autograph above Emmanuel Stewart's. It's that of Angelo Dundee. And I grab another glove, and it says, to Melvin, future champ, Greg Page.
And Gregory Page.
Gregory Page, the Louisville lip who modeled himself after Muhammad Ali, whose wife we had on this show about 6-7 months ago. And just a couple of the items going back through. A pair of autographed gloves from Marlon Starr, the magic man Mookie from the land of where Willie Pep was. We moved on down. Went into a book yesterday I was really kind of stunned. Neil Leifer's photography book, and we talked about it on our boxing preview. And going through the book, on the cover of the book, I had a couple of autographs. A couple of really, really dominant ones. Althea Gibson, the first African-American, male or female, to win a Grand Slam tournament. Althea Gibson, and then I looked, and there was Mike Tyson, Rooney's good buddy, and below him was the first light heavyweight to ever win heavyweight championship world, Michael Spinks Jinks Tyson, John Isaacs, a legendary Harlem Reign. Inside the book, it became a little more astonishing to me, as I had originally said I was going to try to get as many autographs as I could of the people who had photos in the book. And as I looked, just to name a few, Pelé, the greatest footballer in the history of the game of football. We call it soccer here. They call it football there. Had a tri-photo of the Green Bay Packers. Bart Starr, the first man to win the MVP in the Super Bowl, as he won the first two MVPs, as the Packers won the first two MVP games. And Jim Taylor, who in the 9 years that Jim Brown played, he was the only other back to win a rushing title. And like Jim Brown, he was a fullback. Went down and took a look at a picture that I had taken, that I had autographed by the Oakland A's. Gene Tennis, the only man to hit two home runs his first time up in the World Series. Jim Catfish Hunter and Reginald Martinez Jackson. As Dusty pointed out, not only did Reggie Jackson hit three home runs in the World Series game, but he hit him on three first pitches and three different pitches. Daley Thompson, who was one of the captain on. But the thing that struck me the most was the initial picture. When you open the book, there's a picture of Don King, Muhammad Ali, and Joe Frazier. And Jonathan Cain said something one time. He said, no, Doc, he says, you know, when you look back at your collection, nothing you had here had you ever planned to sell or let anybody else, you know, look at it. It was just what you collected personally. And the photo is one of Ali, Joe Frazier, and Don King. It's autographed by King. It's autographed by Frazier. It's autographed by Ali. But it's what Ali said in the autograph. To Melvin, love Muhammad Ali. That had to touch me. Inside, two of the... Granderson this year joined the only two other Yankees as center fielders to hit 40 or more home runs in a season. Inside this book, the autograph under there, Joseph Paul DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle. DiMaggio's middle name was Paul, as was his brother's. It was his father's favorite saint, and all of DiMaggio brothers, Dominic, Vincent, and Joseph, their middle name was Paul. We'll talk some more about that book again, DocStanleySports.com. Take a look at the site. It's part of the Doc Stanley Trust and God Sports and the Hall of Fame. Everything is there, is available, if the price is available. And we'd just like you to take a peek at that. And we'll take a little break as we do that. We have Rooney come in. And Rooney, at this time, you know, could you just welcome everybody to the Sports and Deaf Nation?
Of course. You want me to do that this time, you said? I'd like to give a hearty hello to our vast, vast, vast Sports and Deaf Nation listeners. A hearty hello on behalf of our incredible panel here. We thank you so much for your listenership. And, of course, I'm Mel Smith, Jr.
Mel Cosell. Dr. I, we're going to come back to you. A lot of basketball is going on. We've got Duke, always a perennial chance for the title, North Carolina. How good is Doc Rivers' boy?
Say that again, Doc.
How good is Doc Rivers' son?
He's awesome, baby. You know who says that? Big Vital. He's awesome, baby, because he is.
Vital, yeah. I mean, that's right, yeah.
Plus, he's a great kid. He's a great kid. And, you know Doc
a long time, Doc.
He's like his father. His father's one of the best guys you'll ever meet. He's a great coach.
Man.
He's a lovable guy. And the kid has the personality of his father.
Doc Rivers is a tremendous human being, just a bona fide good guy. And you know, Doc, when he was a member of the Knicks, I had the opportunity to just sit down and talk basketball with Doc on a few occasions, and I knew right then the guy's going to be a coach in this league.
Mind. You talk about you know, things in my sports in the Hall of Fame. And I remember I have autographed pictures of Doc, and I think it said about this photo. It's really beautiful, and it says, you know, to Doc, from one doctor to another, Doc Rivers, who got the nickname because he was a big Dr. J fan. Big Dr. J fan out of Chicago. Talked about how high school basketball was just tremendous in Chicago. I mean, it got the front pages out there. Dr. I, coming back to you for a minute, how do you see this NCAA tournament? I mean, Syracuse won. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, are you startled?
Look who won today.
Huh? Yeah, well, I'm saying, but no, why did it take Jim Boeheim 30 years? I mean, this long to. They had their first 30-win season this year. I mean, what's your take on that?
Well, listen, it's not easy to win 30 games. Give the guy credit for what he's done over a long period of time. His body of work, he's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, no question, no question. But then
you got to remember also, they didn't play these many games that long ago.
Just
so you couldn't win 30 games.
Yeah, you got a point. But you look at a guy like Calipari, who's done it 5 years in a row.
Well, that's one and done Calipari, you know, one and done. Listen, that team's one short game away from not winning again. They had John Wall 2 years ago, the greatest player in America, okay? First pick in the draft. What did he do in the big game against West Virginia? It's called El Choco, okay? The same thing could happen in any game. Calipari will not win this year. He couldn't win today. They almost got beat yesterday. Today, Vandy beat them. That's an indication there's something wrong in Calipari land.
How good of a coach is he? Is he outstanding? Is he Hall of Fame bound?
I don't think he's Hall of Fame bound, but he is an excellent coach. You can't knock anything about him as a coach. But the guy bends rules and basically, obviously, is one of the great recruiters of all time. But he's got to do some stuff before he becomes a Hall of Famer. He doesn't have the record.
Go back. Is that his strong suit, his ability to recruit?
That's one of his strong suits, but he does know his basketball. In other words, he's not a fake, put it that way. He's a real deal as a coach. He may not be a Patino, but he is a coach besides being a recruiter.
What's the difference between him and Patino?
Patino is a better coach. He's also charismatic, okay, as Calipari. And, you know, there's a big rivalry there. You know, you're talking about Louisville versus Kentucky also.
Yeah, but what traits does Patino have, who was great here in New York, what traits do he have that makes him a superior coach to Calipari, in your opinion?
If you watch his teams play, every game, every player is going to bust his butt. Those guys are in amazing shape. You watch that team play defense yesterday, forget about it. That team would beat Kentucky, in my opinion, even though Kentucky's got the better talent.
Really?
You can't bring the ball up over half court, especially when Russ Smith's in the game. The high-risk thing. They contest everything. Everything. If you want to compare them to the Knicks, who contest nothing.
Nothing. Play no defense. Is they like... No, really, he's right about that, though, Doc. They don't play. They don't have a defensive bone in their body.
Yeah, Rooney,
I mean, guys,
Rooney, you know, this is amazing, Rooney. You're so right. And, I mean, and Dr. I has said it. Kusa has said it. There was nothing defensively minded about the guy they brought in here. And supposedly the Knicks' hallmark is defense. DeBuscher, Frazier, Reed, Barnett, and you bring
a
guy in here.
That's the old Knicks, Doc. That's the old
Knicks. Look at one guy who very few people know. Donnie Walsh wanted to bring him in as a coach, and it's a very cute story why he wasn't a coach.
Charles Oakley
one of the meanest men on earth, one of the most fiercest defenders. Donnie was going
You know what Oakley's motto was, don't you? No layups here. None.
Yeah. Okay.
That was his motto, and he lived up to it.
This is an Oakley story. It was typical of Oakley. So Donnie calls him and says, look, I want to give you a job as a coach, right? So he left. So Oakley leaves a message for Donnie in the general mailbox, which Donnie never got. And that's why Oakley didn't become a Knicks assistant coach. That's an Oakley story. Oakley-ism.
Wow. You know, did you talk about
Charles
Oakley?
That's the one thing that this team is really lacking, Doc. Toughness. Both mental and physical toughness. This team is sure.
Tell me what you think it is. Doc, tell me what you think it is.
Go ahead.
They fired D'Antoni, which means that his brother goes and Weber goes, okay? So that makes Whitman the coach. You're going to leave Herbie in place because Herbie now can coach, which he's not allowed to do now. Kenny Atkinson, the young kid, he's a terrific coach, and he's not quoted D'Antoni now. Now you add Oakley to the coaching staff, and maybe you bring in another guy who Isaiah likes, and he'll approve it right away. Bring Mark Aguirre back. You got a damn good coaching staff there, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
That's what I think may happen. Glenn's a great GM. He's in the background. Dolan loves him because he doesn't hold press conferences. As soon as Donnie held his first press conference and said he was going to have a press conference every day, that was the end of the relationship between him and Dolan.
Really? But why? Yeah, how come I've heard that Dolan doesn't like the media. Are you trying to tell me that this is the truth?
Put it this way. Dolan had more respect for Jonathan Sopranowicz because he licked his butt than he did for Donnie. Because his PR staff is so afraid of him, they bow down to him. Donnie bows down to nobody.
So
let me tell you, don't think that Dolan fired him. He fired Dolan. I won't use the words that he used when he left the Knicks and left Dolan, because I'm not allowed to do that on public radio.
Yeah, it's a family show. It's a family
but
show.
Doc, you got Doc's family, sports in depth on the Blake Radio Network. Hold on, Doc's family, sports in depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Show, sports in depth of the show. You're hearing that Dr. I joins tonight with some in-depth insight. I thought real quickly, Rooney, when you were talking about Oakley, you know, Oakley and Jordan were like brothers. And in the Sports Net Hall of Fame, they got three pair of Mike's sneakers. The last pair of sneakers that I have from Mike, Oakley would always get them. I would ask Mike for a pair of sneakers. I said, Mike, I have a sneaker at the end of the game. He said, hey, man, you know Oakley already got them. Well, Oakley had these sneakers. And I see the ball boy bringing them down. And the Knicks have just lost Game 5 to the Bulls in the Garden. And Oak says, well, look, you know, You can't have these, but I'll give you the pair from Game 7. There's going to be a Game 7. So I said, okay, Oak. And Oak turns to me and says, you know what? No, here, take these. These happen to be the second pair of sneakers. And the only, in fact, Michael Jordan only had two games in the playoffs that he had a triple-double. This was the second pair, which Oakley personally gave me, and the first pair Mike gave me. So just a little more insight on what's inside the Trust in God Sports and Dev Hall of Fame. Dr. I, you bring in a lot of revelation here that there is, I mean, okay, can we ever see the return of Isaiah Thomas?
You will see the return of Isaiah Thomas. He'll be the president of the Knicks next year. That's my speculation. Gwen will be in place. Isaiah will be in place. And they all played for the same team at IU for Bobby Knight.
Wow, you're right. You're right.
So that's the link. That's the link.
Hmm.
Gwen's very good.
Gwen
got Chandler. You got to remember that. Gwen got the deal for Chandler done.
Hmm. Okay.
And he signed off on Jay Lynn.
Okay, now, everybody went into this Linsanity. How good is the kid, in your opinion?
Kid is very good. We got to remember he's a rookie. Look how much weight D'Antoni put on him because he let him freelance instead of giving him structure. And look what the media did. They jumped on this kid. I'm in Dallas. Last week, I go to a sports bar. You know what beer they have? Jeremy Lin's Chinese-style beer on the menu. A new menu that they had specially printed so they would have up-to-date Jerry Lynn Chinese-style beer.
In Dallas.
How's that? In Dallas. Now, I'm in the airport,
by the way,
right? Four different airports are selling Linsanity shirts in the airport.
D'Antoni should be giving Lynn part of his paycheck because if he doesn't come in during that Nets game and they go on that streak, then D'Antoni's probably gone by now.
Well, he's gone for sure. He was
but the interesting
thing is,
he would have
been after Carmelo. Carmelo went in defense of Lynn, went up to D'Antoni and said, look, the guy's sitting on his butt on the bench for 2 months now. Let him play a little in garbage time. They let him play a little in garbage time as a thank you because they were releasing him 2 days later. The rest is history. He's very good.
I think D'Antoni would have been gone, like Mel said, if he would have been gone by the All-Star break.
Absolutely.
He would have been
gone.
Yeah,
I agree.
He
should be given part of that check to Lynn, quite frankly.
But despite all of this,
here's a deal with the owner.
Mm-hmm.
He's still paying off part of Larry Brown's contract. So he didn't want to release. He wasn't going to get rid of this guy because he would owe him money. This guy's making $5-6 million a year as a coach.
So we're looking at a scenario that, okay, he's going to stay this year, but he's gone next year, and we're saying by next year or no later than yet that we're going to have an all-IU coaching staff once again,
So they think, you know, the rumors about Phil Jackson, but Phil Jackson's smart enough to stay away from Dolan.
So, I mean, I mean, so in other words, if I mean the holdback from getting Jackson to come here is Dolan.
I think Phil's too smart. He also observed what happened with the Lakers. Basically, the Lakers, once Jerry Buss ceded the everyday business to his son Jim, Jim Buss is as bad as James Dolan. That's why the Lakers are a team turmoil, worse than the Knicks.
Out west, can the Mavericks do it again?
They're still chopping the tall.
I think City's going to win. The Thunder's going to win the West.
There's a good possibility. You're correct.
The Thunder. They're coming.
The only thing is, their only weakness is, okay, is they're a run-and-gun team that has trouble in the half-court offense, which means that Dallas could be smart enough to beat them. Because if they get back in transition and make them a half-court team and play zone defenses against them, they will have trouble. So
if Dallas can stay healthy.
Don't forget San Antonio's having a great year. We don't hear about it. Texas is a long way away.
How much longer are we going to see the great forward? Is he 1 or 2 years away, San Antonio? Duncan, do we see Duncan another 2 years from now, Dr. I? Or is he going to leave us pretty soon?
I would say if his legs hold up, again, he won't be the Duncan of old, but the guy is still the Big Easy. And as the Big Easy, he can play less minutes and still be effective if he still has a desire to play, okay? It's all in how much they want to play, desire to play. So it's up to the individual at that point. He has enough money. He's won, you know, he's got a couple of rings. So it's up to him. If he still has the burn to play and his legs are healthy enough, body's healthy enough, he'll continue to play.
Dude,
doesn't seem like the type of guy, Doug, that's going to hang around if he can't get it done. I mean, if it gets to the point where his play is subpar, he'll probably hang it up.
But yeah, I'll buy into that. If his play deteriorates enough, then I'll buy into it. Yes, he's not there to steal someone's money, and he's done that.
The guy has too much class and dignity. But their coach, is he one of the underrated, unsung coaches in the history of this game, Dr. I?
Pop's Hall of Fame. Clearly Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's Hall of Fame, no question about it, but nobody ever, they talk about Jackson, they talk about Riley, but they never talk about this guy.
Well, where does he coach? He coached in San Antonio. He's not coaching in L.A., New York, or Miami.
It has a lot to do with it, Doc. You know that.
I'll take this guy as a coach any day of the week over Phil Jackson, and I'll say even Pat Riley. Even though I consider Pat Riley a great coach, Hall of Fame coach, that's what I think of Popovich. And I think if you went to a Larry Brown, a Donnie Walsh, any other real expert, they would give him his kudos.
Yeah, Popovich is a darn good coach. He really is.
He stands on the record. Let's get back to baseball real quickly with Nat.
I got a boxing note for you before you go, too, Doc.
Okay, of course. Give it to me.
Well, no, Doc, we've already done it, but I'm not going to labor the point too much. But for a moment, we were talking about Camacho and how great he was, and Ray Lynn and what have you. I don't know if Hal's still there, but I thought of one fight, Doc, that I think would have made my point a little bit better. And we've spoken about this at length, and that's the famous one at the Garden with him and Chapo Rosario.
Yeah, but Rooney, you, here's two things here before you start this. Okay, he got hit. Okay, he was kind of coming down. He still won the fight. There's no way in the world Chapo Rosario was going to box 12 rounds ahead of Camacho and outbox him. So he got hit.
That's not my point. My point is, Doc, this guy's great and he's beating Sugar Ray Leonard and company. In your opinion, of course, I'm not talking about the old, you know, the hell, but I'm talking about both in their primes.
The bottom line is Camacho won the fight.
Line, but I'm looking at the overall thing. Doc, the guy barely escaped with a decision over Chapo Rosario.
Escape. Harold, can you help me here? No, Camacho won that fight going away. What barely escape?
He won the fight. Yeah,
it was a unanimous decision. Unanimous. Every judge saw it I mean, the only guys that gripe because they didn't like Camacho, and a lot of it had to do with his because his persona and because he's Puerto Rican. But you know, don't and you know what?
I'm glad you said that because I'm in the sports and depth.
And the Sports and Get Trust and Guard Hall of Fame. I'm looking at an autograph glove from Chapo. But, I mean, you know, the people, the guys who talked about that fight were guys who didn't like Camacho, once again, who didn't know about boxing. Camacho won the fight going away. They said, well, you know, he got hit. Big deal. He won. I mean, no, listen, you love Ray. Ray was a great fighter. Okay? No question about it. But, you know, you're an expert, too, Rooney. Okay? So let's
not
get blind.
I'm just saying that. The point that I was trying to make, Doc, was on any given night, he could have beat Ray. Ray could have beat him. That's my only point.
Oh no! What? Listen. I'm not. I wouldn't have been shocked if Ray won the fight. I'm just trying to say, you know, here was a guy that people have dogged Camacho. But you know how great this boy was a great fighter. And the turning point of Camacho's life came about, and it's known he started. And Harold has told us that the problem with Latin fighters, and Dusty can concur, you know, they have a tendency to burn out because of the fame comes in, and the drinking comes in, the ladies comes. And Pedrosa had said something that you know drugs start get into boxing. I mean, the thing that turned Camacho around. Camacho was sort of betrayed. There was a situation where somebody stole some money from him that didn't have to do that. He would have gave it to him, and it turned him around psychologically. I mean, I agree with you. It's just that a lot of times people have forgotten. I mean, Hector Camacho, like Harold Weston, like Art Rush Jr., like Marion Booker, should be in this Boxing Hall of Fame up there at Canastova. And until they've been there, it's perpetrating the fraud. But I mean, I'd have no surprise if Ray beat him. But I remember the Louis Loy fight where those people asked Harold Weston in the garden for every possible conceivable thing, and then after Camacho beat him, they want to act like that Harold and him threw a ring on them. You know, they're like, who's this kid? You know who he was. We gave you the money you wanted. We gave you the gloves you wanted. We gave you everything you wanted. And now you lost, and all of a sudden you're looking for a monkey in the rich? I mean, people didn't realize how good this Harold said.
Oh, no, I'm not trying to take anything from him. The guy's a tremendous rumbler.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm just trying to say, you know, give Ray some props, too. And then you give a nice.
I will give Ray some props. I ain't got no problem with Ray. I'm just saying that you matched him up with a guy that I knew that he couldn't beat. And that's all it is.
I would like to have seen that, Harold.
My point is that Ray was a very selective guy about who he fought. Camacho was never selective. Camacho was that.
That's
true. You're
right about that, Harold.
I said, put their name in a box and just give me a name and we'll fight them. You can't.
Let me say this, Harold.
Ray would not do that, okay? When you got a fighter,
right.
Tommy Hearns, there's certain guys you can do that with. There's certain guys
that's
you can't do that with, okay?
Well,
Styles
I can take that
fight.
Coming from you.
Styles
I can take that
fight.
Coming from you, Harold, because I look at your best clips every week. And when I see you in with the Tommies and the Cuevases and the Benitezes and handing of the worldwide tough guy, Vito
Firmo
and tough laws and the rest
Hedgman
of these
Lewis.
Guys. So, Harold, like I said, I take what you say as a real deal because I've seen you in there and seen you doing it with these guys. So, I mean, I'm not debating what you say, and especially when you say that some guys had more of a tendency to say, hey, whoever it is, just how much am I making, who am I fighting, let's get it on, as opposed to some guy carefully picking their opponents. You're absolutely right.
Well, you know,
right.
And Harold, you came through with a great line. And I remember it's why Marion Boykin, when he picked his top four, he put Duran at the top. He was the only one the furthest away from home and never knew he was lost. Harold Weston, Duran Ali, bring him to me. It doesn't matter who it is, bring him in the ring. And I remember you saying that, Harold, the other quote, was I don't care if he's green, white, blue, or yellow, can he fight? And I remember you saying they were calling the phone, and you would just say, okay, we got the fight. Baseball real quick. Back to you, Nat, Mr. Clemente. If things go accordingly, how do you see the division winners, and who do we have in the World Series? I know it's early. They haven't played yet. But, I mean, if everybody stay healthy, I mean, you know, we had Texas last year. I'm saying for sure St. Louis is not coming back.
Right. Well, what's so tough is the disparity between the divisions is ridiculous because you have the AL East with the Yankees, the Rays, the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, and Baltimore. Can I tell you, if you took Baltimore from the AL East to put it in the NL Central without Pujols and Prince Fielder, I think the Orioles could win the AL Central if you just threw them in there. So the disparity between divisions is ridiculous. So the AL East is just a wrecking ball with Tampa Bay, Boston, New York. So it's just hard for me. It's hard for me to make a prediction there. But I'll take the Rangers in the West, the Tigers in the Central. I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay. I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Rays in the East. And I'd have to take the Brewers in the NL Central. Probably the Giants out West. And these are not official predictions. This is just off the top of my head for now.
Okay, yeah. Well, Rick, I mean, as the season's going on, we'll know as injuries and trades are made. We'll definitely. I mean, we need something now from you.
Yeah,
well, let me get a quick one from that, Doc. Let me ask you another question. Now, what do you think of the new playoff format?
I mean, it's tough because I think baseball is just a mess right now. I mean, I just feel like it's a mess. I don't think these particular changes are bad. I mean, it adds excitement, but it's just a sort of you play 162 games in the regular season, and then you play one game, five games, seven games, and seven games. So it's just like March Madness. I mean, it's not going to be the best team winning. Maybe it's excitement, but it's not going to necessarily mean the best team. I mean, you could have a 100-game winner in the AL East, get a wild card and be out in one game. And they could possibly be the best team in baseball.
And that could happen. That could happen.
That could very well happen. So, I mean, it's like March Madness, I guess I would say. If you like excitement, that's good. But we can't say that the World Series champion is necessarily the best team. Whereas I think in the NBA, is a sport where normally out of all the major sports, to me, you can say not every year, but yeah, the NBA champion is often the best team of that year. But I don't think you can say that in baseball. I mean, too few games in the postseason compared to the regular season. That's my opinion.
Dusty, you agree?
Like what?
The player format in baseball this year is leaving
one
situation where the right team gets hot and the best team gets not.
Well, it happens every year, Doc. I mean, the right, it happens every year. You know that it's nothing new. It's no rocket science. It's evaluation. It happens every year, and they get through and. Here you had Texas back-to-back World Series, they didn't win, but you figure after the first World Series trip they'll be dead, but they came out of nowhere and look. In fact, St. Louis was what, 12 games or 13 games somewhere in no man's land, and what happens? They run away with the gold. So and then they were one out away from being eliminated, and they start popping the ball and they win. So it's every sport you have a prediction and the X's and O's are correct and all that nonsense, but then it comes some non-entity come out and blow you away. So what really can you do, man? It's
and that's when some great philosopher said, and I wish I could remember who this was, said, that's why they play the game.
Yeah, that's why they play the game.
D-Wings, we're going to you now.
Marty Griffin said that.
Who's that?
All right, great.
The great Marty Griffin said that's why they play the game. He was the first
Marty
one to say it.
Who used to be the voice of the Knicks. C-Wings, now, I think it was no surprise to see Brandon Jacobs leave. I mean, it was a situation he had his second ring. They said, I think it was a matter of he was willing to take less money, but he wanted extra years. How do you see that? You think the Giants kind of, he said the right thing?
I think that the Giants were looking to cut him anyway. I mean, if you look at the controversy in the beginning of the season, back and forth. He had no contract. He won the ring. I mean, he is a big time running back, but there were a lot of plays this season, short plays that I don't know if it was due to the injuries, but I think he should have made them. But I think it was at this point it's run its course between him and the Giants organization, and he wasn't going to budge and taking less money or too great of a loss
cut.
Taking money.
Well, because he had coming in the season, he had taken a reduction right there from the beginning.
Yeah.
He had already taken a reduction. He got injured. Now, okay.
I just think that was their way of, you know, kind of, you know, getting him out of there.
Okay, now, see, we
once he got healthy, what happened? What happened once he got healthy? And number 44 got hurt.
Did they win the championship?
He was one of the reasons.
Well, maybe they're ungrateful. Okay, the question here, C. Wings, is, as Dr. I said, there seems to be some ingratitude here. Okay.
It's still a numbers game, Doc. It's still a numbers game. So.
But what what about his conduct when he was having all the squabbles?
Well,
and
the bottom line, that's his production. I mean, and that helps sell paper.
Production. The man was hurt. What you want me to do? I mean, Amar Bradshaw was hurt too. I mean, this is what Harry and I talk about. The body is not made to be twisted, kicked, stomped on, and kicked on.
I agree. I mean, he was hurt.
They're going to turn you around and tell you, okay. Too many injuries. Go home after you gave me two championships. Come on, man.
No.
I lean towards the fact that
I agree with you. There seems to be some ingratitude here, and I always say this. You know, it's always seems to be a hard thing to always pay a brother. My question to C Wings real quickly is one: will somebody pick him up? Two: would the Jets be interested?
Here's the deal. Bradshaw has his surgery. Bradshaw can walk again, and if he can walk, he's going to run better, and he's younger. Therefore, he can pick up the slack that they lose with an older back, I'll call him.
Yeah, 29-year-old Jacobs.
Jacobs isn't through. He came through when they needed him to come through because his injuries were gone. He was healed, and he saw the chance of winning a championship just as the rest of the team did. And Coghlan, he's a genius for keeping that team together because he basically changed his own personality by loosening up the reins a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that allowed Brandon Jacobs to function as a part of the team. The rest was media hype. Media hype.
Exactly.
Well, okay.
They're definitely losing a good running back. Him being the fourth lead in rusher in the Giants' history with over 4,800 yards.
I agree 100%.
And the most rushing touchdowns in Giants' history. But are the Jets interested?
We haven't heard anything, but I wouldn't be surprised if Ladainian's coming back,
so there's no reason for him to be – the Jets won't go for him.
Especially at the money that he was, Doc. Jets are not going to give the kind of money that he's looking for. He'll be lucky if he gets a million or two tops. Not the money that he's looking for.
The Jets need money because they got to replace that right tackle. They have to pay a safety. You know, when they got rid of Kerry Rhodes, they got rid of a guy that could lock down any tight end, okay? But he was making $9 million a year. So they brought in a defensive back making $1.5 million, numbers. And what that guy do? Zippo.
He was due to earn $5 million, $4.9 million in base salary and $100,000 workout bonus.
Bonus.
You know, so he wasn't trying to come down.
It's about that time. We got to close out here in a minute too. Doc Sandy Sports Up on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow. So the channel Sports Up for the show. Three thoughts. Live your life today. guard tomorrow. Life's most simple, urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is a rich and privileged space on Earth. They're all going to be here next week. Lady A, Harold Weston Jr., Dr. I, Mel Cosell, Casino Baby Lewis, Mr. Baseball Nat, and Sea Wings. Gentlemen, back here next week at 9 o'clock. And from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and bless you God. Larry Hardesty, come on in here and say goodnight for us, would you please?
God bless everybody.
God bless.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Yeah, we're closing off. But, okay, Dr. I, C-Wing.
I'm the man. I'm feeling a little bit.
Who, Harold?
Me and Harold used to hang a little together.
Yeah, hey, listen, you'll all be back here next week. Gang, until next week, love you all, trust in God.
Good night.
God bless.
Good night.
Thank you.
Mr. Basketball, Mr. Baseball, Mr. Boxing, Mr. Controversy, First Lady of Sports, they're all here. And Mr. Football. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Trust in God.